The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you heavens. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all the faithful servants, children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord.
A reading from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. After being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. Then he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. So did you have an absolutely perfect Christmas day where everything went exactly as you had planned? The family sitting around that dining room table, having that perfect meal, saying nice things to one another, just absolutely perfect. Like a Courier and Ives Christmas card? Yeah, me neither. Christmas expectations are always so much higher than the reality. They're rarely fulfilled. Our family members are just like we are, a mixture of saint and sinner. And it seems that Christmas stress and all those expectations that we put on one another, it seems like the sinner part kind of comes out a little bit more. My sister called me on Christmas afternoon, very disappointed in her Christmas Eve. She had imagined they'd rented a cabin in the woods in the Black Hills, and had been snowing, and they had an 8-hour drive, but it was okay. They get to the cabin, and she had imagined this wonderful Christmas Eve, sitting in front of the roaring fireplace, listening to Christmas music, saying nice things to one another. But the boys got in a fight, and it was not peaceful at all. And finally, when they ended up even in the same room, they refused to speak to one another. That classic silent treatment lasted all Christmas Eve. They were over it by Christmas morning, but that dream of having a perfect Christmas Eve blew away. It was gone. Here we are on this Sunday after Christmas, very soon to get back to the reality of work and school and life as usual. Some of us don't have enough time between now and the end of the Christmas season, which is next Sunday, to get in that Christmas cheer. We have a few things we have to do yet. We have to toast New Year's Eve. We have to watch a few football games, I'm sure. We have to celebrate Epiphany, and then it's back to reality. Maybe it's good that we listen to the good news that was proclaimed today that is so well anchored in the human reality of pain and suffering, more like our own reality. That reading from Hebrews is a good example. It speaks of Jesus coming in the flesh to save us. Not some angels, but to save us. We need saving. Jesus came in the flesh not to gloss over reality, but to share in the very things that make up our reality. It says that we have become Jesus' brothers and sisters, and that he became human, became flesh, in order to share that reality. He became like us in every respect, so that he might pioneer for us the perfect way through suffering. Notice that it says through suffering, not around suffering, not how to avoid suffering, but how to go through suffering. That's good news for us this morning, because we face in our normal lives less than perfect reality. The good news is that God helps us to face that reality. We don't have to try to escape it, to ignore it, to get past it, because we have a Savior who leads us in a way through it. We have a God who is with us every step of our journey. And this gospel this morning makes that so very clear. Matthew uses exactly the same words in two different parts of the story to explain how God is with Joseph, both in Bethlehem and then using the exact same words, God with Joseph again in Egypt. So when our reality looks like this peaceful nativity scene, God is with us. When our reality looks more like running for our lives, going into Egypt, God is with us. That story from Matthew's gospel is such a poignant story. The wise men have found Jesus, found the Messiah. We'll hear more about that next Sunday when we celebrate Epiphany. But the local king does not like that. And he responds with violence, a kind of violence that disrupts our Christmas scene. We don't like to hear about this. It's a very troubling story, this story of the murder of children. Even though biblical scholars tell us that it probably didn't happen, at least not to the astronomical numbers that we have imagined, but it still sends shivers down our spine to hear about the murder of little children. It could be because Herod was an evil, wicked man. Secular history tells this story, reports that Herod had made a law. And the law stated that on the day of his death, everyone in his family was to be murdered. And then on the day of his burial, which would be the next day, the very day of his burial, all of the ranking political leaders of the country were to be executed. The reason Herod wanted to do this, because he wanted the country to be in mourning. So he figured if he killed a whole crowd of folks, the country would mourn. So they would mourn his, it would seem like they were mourning his death. He was a wicked man. He killed his sons because he didn't want to have, want to make sure there was no heir apparent for the throne. Even though this wicked man would not have hesitated to kill innocent children, we still don't like to hear this story on Christmas time or any time. But it's our reality. We celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. And where is their peace? Our news is filled with assassinations and suicide bombers and political and civil uprisings all over the world. Innocent children are being murdered. They're dying because of poverty or disease. They're sold into slavery and killed by the very people who should be protecting them. That's our reality. One of my Christmas gifts this year was from my sister, who had given a contribution to, in my name, to a scholarship fund for one of the lost boys of Somalia, a refugee, a young man who's living in South Dakota now and goes to her church. And they're making a contribution toward toward his college fund. Did you know that there are more than 10 million refugees? People who have left their countries in order to stay alive, just to be alive. It would take a lot of holiday cheer to cover up the reality of our world today. Especially, I think, the reality of suffering children. I don't think there's enough sweet Christmas stories to cover up that reality of our world. But there's one story that I know that can at least be a beginning to make things right. It's a story of a baby born in a smelly sheep barn who himself became a refugee as a very young child, who escaped death at the hands of those who would do him harm. But later on in life, he was not able to escape the hands of his enemies, and he was hanged on a cross for you and for me. But 3 days after his death, he was raised to life, and that reality gives us all the hope that we need. That reality is our hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the promise that God ultimately does rid the world of suffering, that God ultimately rescues us from the hands of those who would do us harm. God ultimately has the last word. And that is the reality, that God has the last word. I said that this story begins to make things right. Because here we are, 2,000 years after that fact, and still innocent children suffer at the hands of wicked and evil people. But there's good news here. There's good news that Jesus came to show us a new way of living. Jesus shows us that God is with us in our Bethlehem and in our Egypt. God is with us in our perfect days and in our disappointed dreams. God became flesh in Jesus Christ. He took on our human nature and became our brother to show us how to live. Listen again to the words of that second reading. Because Jesus himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested, those who suffer. Even though our reality is less than ideal, even though our dreams of perfection are not realized, we have hope. Even though innocent children suffer and evil seems to have the upper hand, we have hope. In knowing this story of Jesus, in being nourished by his very body and blood that we share in communion, in celebrating the forgiveness of our sins, in celebrating and living in faith with one another, we can make a different reality. We are the beloved children of God. We can trust that God is with us in our darkness and in our light, in our Bethlehem and in our Egypt, in our dreams and in our reality. Jesus Christ is our hope. We start the new year with a promise that every day we are becoming a new creation. This is God's New Year's promise to us, that we are becoming a new creation. We are bringing about a new reality as we live as the disciples of Jesus Christ. The good news is that Jesus Christ is our hope. The good news is that Jesus Christ is with us and that he goes with us every step of our journey. Not around the suffering, not past the suffering, but right through it, right with us, in our ordinary reality. Jesus Christ is our hope and is with us every step of our journey. Amen.